the home of Australian air checks. TheRadioAntenna.com.
91.7 ABC Gold Coast.
Currently 20 degrees at Coolangatta, 20 at the Gold Coast Seaway, 18 in Byron and 20 in Bow Desert. We'll get the latest traffic from Brad in around about 5 minutes' time. Trevor Jackson in this afternoon. And as we've heard in the news, a very sad day indeed for music fans in this country. Up next, Remembering Doc, one of Australia's greatest rock and roll frontmen. See your face again. 91.7 ABC Gold Coast, 14 past 5, Trevor Jackson this afternoon, and the song that launched a notorious response that could only have been born in an Aussie pub. And sadly for us, we will never see Doc Neeson's face again. In 2012, Doc was diagnosed with a brain tumour, but this morning he lost his battle at the age of 67. Brent Eccles was the Angels drummer for 20 years and was particularly close to Doc. Brent, it's very sad news today.
Yeah, so I'm a bit stunned, a bit at sixes and sevens.
I don't know whether a lot of people know this, and certainly I discovered this as, firstly as a fan, that he had this menacing presence on stage, and yet in person he was the most unassuming, likeable guy that you could ever meet, really.
Yeah, he must have liked you, because if he didn't like you, then he could be just as menacing sitting face to face and talking to him. But you know, he was a gentleman, that's for sure, off the stage, and you know, generous to a fault, probably. You know, lovely bloke.
Was that kind of a dichotomy with Doc himself, like the performer? Because that was the thing about him. He just had this presence on stage. And to come off stage and to try and come down from that night after night, particularly at the height of the band when you're just touring relentlessly, how did he cope with that personally?
Well, I suppose you cope with it by having a few drinks and whatever else that takes your fancy to deal with that. And it is a problem. You do come off stage and you're pretty wired, and a lot of people chasing you, particularly him, because he's a powerful person, and you know, people want to see him in the flesh and talk to him, and you know, dealing with all that. And you know, his persona on stage was so strong that you know, sometimes when he walked on that stage and commanded it, he would even, you know, the band would even be in awe, going, "Wow, he's so on tonight. He looks so good, and he's so fired up." That was the thing about him. But you know, it's not uncommon that when someone's off the stage, they're a different person. He certainly was. I mean, he was quite private, though. You know, in all that.
What's the side of Doc that most people didn't see?
Oh, I'd say probably you know, that's a good question actually. You know, probably a little unhappy with his lot. In terms of, you know, where he ended up with, you know, wives and girlfriends and family and that kind of stuff, got a bit twisted, unfortunately. And I think if he had it over again, he might not have wanted the same path. But it was what it was. And you know, I think if you're the lead singer of a rock and roll band that's so successful, what you hope for is that the success is also matched by remuneration. And the truth is, it's often not. And in his case, it really wasn't, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that would surprise, I think, a lot of fans, because the Angels rode a huge crest of success here right through the late 70s into the 80s and well into the 90s, even with the comeback album Beyond Salvation, for instance, of course, which was huge. Yeah. But was it the fact that the band never broke in America, for instance, that's where the real payoff would have been?
Well, I think every time, I mean, you've got to invest a lot into a band emotionally and financially, and I think really the best you can hope for a band that's sort of successful in the Australasian territory is, you know, is a reasonable living. You probably own your own house and live okay, but for the, you know, to live the high life, I think, yes, you'd certainly have to be breaking internationally and have to put that effort in and sell a lot of records and do a lot of touring. And, you know, we didn't really come near that. We tried, but we didn't get there, which is a pity, because it was probably there. But that makes a difference, I think.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because even though the Angels never really made it in America, it didn't stop bands like Guns N' Roses or Pearl Jam or even Nirvana from listing the Angels as an influence on their music. Did you get a lot of direct response from those sorts of artists?
Well, absolutely. We were kind of a fashionable band to influence people, and it was real. I mean, you know, a lot of those records, particularly the early ones, were unique, and they were quite something, you know, and they were quite fresh and different. And that kind of went on and on and on. And there were always pockets of just thought, pockets around the world of audience that thought the band was just, you know, the next best thing. But it also wasn't strong enough to actually, you know, meld it together and make it something that could create enough of a platform to, you know, to dive off into the big bucks.
Doc Neeson with The Angels and No Secrets. This is 91.7 ABC Gold Coast. Trevor Jackson this afternoon. It's 23 past five. Brent Eccles, the former Angels drummer, is my guest with the sad news that Doc Neeson has passed away. Brent, when you look back at your time with the band, what were some of the highlights? The first thing that came to mind for me was probably Narara in 83, the big rock music festival, which the Angels headlined. This was the All-Australian lineup, and by all accounts, it was one of those incredible performances by the band.
Well, it was supposedly our last show. That's in 1983. The band was going to break up, but and that was our, we kind of gave all at that gig, and that certainly was a moment. But when I look back at that time, I think it was just a privilege to be part of that, and I don't see any you know, there were highs and lows over a year, but it was an incredible ride. We did some great things, and you know, I count myself lucky to have been involved in it, and also to have worked with someone like Doc, who's just a unique frontman.
You mentioned that that was supposed to be the Angels' last gig. What happened there? What was the story behind that?
Internal friction, I think, and, you know, just people wanting to go their different ways for different reasons. But it resolved itself, and, you know, bands have issues. That was quite a big one. but we got on with it, and we kept going and for a long time. And, you know, it's a shame. The great shame is really that the band just didn't keep going for a lot longer as the Angels that we all know. That Doc wasn't the singer of the band. Yeah, that's the shame. But that's the way it was. That's the way it's ended. I'll never forget him for what he gave.
Yeah. It was sad, obviously, in later years when he wasn't well. And for those that don't know, I mean, there was, I think, a really bad car accident. He had had some other personal health issues. I think going through some emotional problems, a whole raft of problems that seemed to compound on him. And he was such a dynamic personality. And to see him hit by that, it must have been very hard for you to take as a friend of his and to see it personally.
I think rock and roll got him. You know, it's a classic story of the rock and roll lead singer, the front man, with just so much pressure on his time, and, you know, the way people react, the way he reacted to all that, and I think it got him.
It's funny, though, isn't it? You say the pressure, and certainly he was idolized by so many, and yet I remember bumping into him in a pub. In fact, it was the other way around. He tapped me on the shoulder in a pub in Sydney
and said,
"G'day, mate." And I just nearly fell over.
Yeah.
And I just, but that was just an indication of the kind of guy he was. And I always got the sense that he was very comfortable within himself. But maybe you could tell me otherwise.
You know, I think most of the time he was, but he would have had his moments. Hey, we all do. But you know, apart from all that, he was just a great front man. Just incredible.
It was very sad at the end, a pretty bitter kind of feud between the Brewster Brothers and Doc, and of course they'd written all of those classic Angel songs together. Can you shed some light on what happened there?
How long you got? look, you know, it's just one of those things that happens in bands, and they get fueled by lots of different things and different emotions. Sometimes they're fueled by desperation, and, you know, people just got to do something and got to get on with their lives, and they can't sit around and wait. And I think that was a bit of part of it, and, you know, it's not an easy explanation and it's not an easy fix. It's a real, real shame that it happened the way it happened.
91.7 ABC Gold Coast, The Angels from their 1978 album, Face to Face, Be With You. Trevor Jackson this afternoon, looking back at the life of one of Australia's greatest rock and roll frontmen with the passing of Doc Neeson. Angels drummer Brent Eccles is my guest. Brent, when was the last time you saw Doc?
Oh, I saw him about 2 months ago, and I knew that the end was nigh, and sort of said goodbye to him.
Was he okay with that?
He was sick. He was quite ill, but he was as positive as he could be, and Doc was always a bit like that. He was always talking about the next album and the next tour, and still was, you know.
Come on, Brent, we're putting the band back together.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, what are you doing next Friday? You know, I love him. He's a great bloke, really, you know. And we'll never see anything like him again, ever.
No, that's true. He was one of the great frontmen in rock and roll. Is there an anecdote you want to share to go out today with something that you remember about Doc particularly, whether it was at a gig or whatever it might have been?
Yeah. Oh, I think the great story is when he, you know, in Toowoomba, not far from where you are, at the College of Advanced Education there, he had climbed the PA stack in Marseille, and he just done his question and answer thing with the audience and just jumped back onto the stage. But he was so high that when he jumped, he went straight through the stage. And the band, he kind of felt with the band like a 2 second pause of nothing. Like, what the? And then his head just popped back up, big grin on his face. And it's like, man, you could have killed yourself. This is incredible. And he's got up, you know, bounded around the stage and so be it.
With a manic grin on his face.
You know, and then went home to nurse his bruises. I mean, he was like that.
On that note, I think it's a good way to go out. Let's rip into Marseille one more time with Doc Neeson up front of the Angels. Brent Eccles, thank you for your time today.
Jacko, see you, mate.
The Angels with Marseille. They don't make them like that anymore. Brent Eccles was right. We will never see the likes of Doc again.
This is Mike Dreyson on the Radio Antenna.com.